2NURFM. Welcome back. On a Monday morning, we always have a chat with this delightful young gentleman here. It's Professor John O'Connor from the School of Maths and Sciences. Good morning, John. This week, something a little bit interesting, as it is every week. Of course, we've got fog and how we can actually track and see things through fog. But this is going to be a little unorthodox for us, isn't it?
Yeah, this sort of comes out of left field, this one. It's on the fog. Many people have experienced fog, and you know what it's like. It's just you can't see into it. It's so if you're driving along and you enter fog, you get this great white wall in front of you as all the light that normally goes straight ahead and hits objects and you can see them gets scattered. And it's that scattering that really messes things up.
A whole lot of fun while you're driving it overnight.
It's actually in many areas. Actually, the same problem occurs in medicine. In fact, one of my colleagues in physics is trying to use lasers to find cancers in breasts rather than using x-rays. But, of course, the light scatters around as well. So it's in medicine, it's in surveillance, it's in aviation, it's in cars. Everywhere there's this business where the light gets scattered, which means you can no longer see the object.
Okay, so how do we get around that? Is it by bringing a bit more chaos to the scene? Or?
Well, they've tried in the past using really well-defined signals like lasers, good frequency, good continuous, well-formed waves, but it becomes really complicated and it's not something you can do in real time. It gets very scattered. Basically, you've taken something really well-defined and messed it up. And the out-of-left-field approach was by a group at the University of Central Florida where they said, well, if the beam's going to get messed up, let's start off with a messed up beam. So instead of putting in a really nicely well-defined beam, they put in what they called a random signal or a noisy beam. So they put a noisy beam in, which had slightly different properties to the scattering process. And it was much more robust in terms of making its way through and then being detected afterwards.
So is the concept here that the thing that we're putting through that's messed up, we already know what it looks like, in a manner of speaking, so something else that is already going to be messed up, it's going to be contrary to that, so we can pick it apart, am I right?
Exactly. We've actually got the signature of that messed up beam, mm-hmm. and it's still very robust, what the average signal is, and then you can, with this, and with in real time, actually monitor changes in that signal, and those changes identify, say, something that's moving. At this stage, it's not great for anything that's stationary, but it identifies anything that's moving in that medium because it gives back a different signal to the scattering from the whole stationary medium itself. And they've tested this out, and this is not yet on a road, but certainly in the laboratory, they've set up systems which are really foggy, and they've been able to identify the trajectory of an object moving in that foggy environment. So that's the first step in these processes, prove that it actually works before you go any further. But by this process, and it really is weird, I mean, chuck in something that's really messy and noisy, and you actually get something out that is useful, whereas putting in something really well-defined wouldn't give them that information.
This is most bizarre, I've got to say, but out of that chaos comes a little bit of order, I think.
That's right, and it works not only for light, but also for microwaves, which is, of course, what aviation use in their radars and the military. It'll work with heat, so infrared sensors. So it's actually got a number of different applications. In medicine as well, there are potential uses there. So this application, which I think I really need to emphasise, it can do it in real time. There are other techniques which take lots and lots of shots and then use lots of computer power and after the event can tell you where something was. That's a very computational, very slow process. You want to know what's there now rather than what was there 10 minutes ago.
John, I think my mind's just starting to have a brain explosion, so you'll send a bit more case in there to fix it up. But thank you for your time. We'll catch you next week, next time around.
Thanks, Mark.
We love him. It is our Professor John O'Connor from the School of Maths and Sciences at 2NURFM 103.7.